midboard. By Davar Hashem Moshe Midbar Sinai Ba'ol Moed Ve'achal Lachodesh Hasheni B'Shana Hasheni Sosetz Meretz Yisrael way more. Hashem spoke to Moshe Midbar Sinai in Ba'ol Moed in the first of the second month in the second year since they left Mitzrayim. So it's Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Rosh Chodesh Iyar in the second year after they left Mitzrayim. So in the second year when they had gone. It happens to be every single year Parshas Bamidbar comes out before Shavuos. Usually Shavuos is in between Bamidbar and Nelson. So it's usually right after Bamidbar, and also is right afterward. Usually that's what ends up happening.
Isn't Nelson before Shavuos is here?
Yes, this year it's a little bit different, but usually that's what happens. So the Gemara in Megillah asks, Laman Aleph from Abayis, why does Shavuos always fall out after the klalos of Parshas Bechukosai? Why does it end up that Parshas Bechukosai, which is all the klalos, all the curses, all the bad things that happen to Bnei Yisrael, why is it that after that Shavuos comes? Why can't Shavuos before that? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says that the pshat is, I want the curses to end, I want them to all be gone, so that we can start a new Kabbalah Satorah.
To accept the Torah. What actually happened on Shavuos?
It's another question. For now, it's just a, for now, nothing. Yeah. They got the Torah. The seventh Sivan, they got the Aseret Dibros, and with that they understood the entire Torah. That's the idea. So the Kabbalah Torah, they wanted to have it without those curses. Take away the curses. That's why Bamidbar comes out in between the two. In other words, the concept is that you have to have a parsha of a bracha. You have to have something in between the curses, and then when Shavuos comes, you don't want to just have the curse and then run into Shavuos. It's not right. So you have a parsha where we count everybody up, we say, here's where everybody goes, that type of a concept, put everybody together, and then afterward we come out, after that, this bracha of, look how many people we got, look how many things that have gone well for Bnei Yisrael, we traveled the Midbar, everything was all good, look what ended up happening. After that, we come into the idea of Shavuos. That's what we're going into Shavuos with. This year it's a double bracha. Not only do you get the Midbar, we also get Parshas Naso. We get 2 weeks. The whole shot is, O'malei Shamru Bnei Yisrael, Beis Shabbosos. If Bnei Yisrael would have kept 2 Shabbosos in them over Miyad HaYunigalan, the power of 2 Shabbosos, obviously doubly more than one, but exponentially better than one. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yechassim Abayi said that if only we would keep these two, we'd be mukhan, we'd be able to be mekabel the Torah, and everything would be all good. Doesn't necessarily mean that way. Goes for you. You are the one that's being commanded over here. You want a gulas and nefesh? You want a gula? This gulas and nefesh happens. You want your own personal gula? You want your own personal gula? Be meshamer. Keep those two Shabbosos, and that's what you'll be able to do. And that's the concept of a midbar and naso in between the curses and Shavuot. That's what the Chidush Rim says. Rav Yashas is another reason to remind us where we received the Torah. Where did we get the Torah? We got in the middle of the midbar, obviously. It wasn't Hawaii. It wasn't while we were on vacation. It wasn't while we were going around, sipping around pina colada, sitting on like these hammocks, you know, like sitting back, relaxing, and watching Bulls games, binyamin, just for you. Sitting back and watching all the games and everything happening and everything being all good. That's not the way we accept the Torah. The place where we accept the Torah was a desert. A desert full of scorpions and snakes and bandits and robbers and wild animals and all the worst heat that you could possibly imagine and the worst cold in the middle of the night. I mean, obviously, with everything else that was there, the worst stuff that you can imagine all together. The worst heat. Oh my gosh, I'm making you think about it. I'm so sorry. By the way, the worst thing you could possibly imagine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us. He just got it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us and gave us the Torah B'davka there. Only there, in the midbar, in the middle of nowhere, where there's all these problems. That's the Makor for the famous Rambam that says, you're chayiv to learn, even if you're sick, even if you're poor, even if you're Bali Yisurin, if you have Yisurin, you have travails all over your body, you have problems with everything you have. You have no excuse and no way out of it. I gave it to you in Midbar Sinai, your entire life. You have to get over the Midbar, get out of the Midbar, and accept the Torah.
Yeah, but in the Midbar they had the Anan, they had Tavo, they had the Man. They weren't on the beach in Hawaii, but it was kind of like those conditions were created in the...
They didn't appreciate it then anyway.
100%.
Yeah, but that's not. But who's, that's their problem.
You know, that's the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's getting everything you need now also. That's exactly it. You just look at things, you know, like, yeah, but there's also this, yeah, but there's also that. You're looking at the excuses. If you'd really look at it, you'd also see the mud in your life. You'd also see the Anani HaKavod in your life. And you'd also see all the other brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. But you choose to ignore that. You look at it as, oh yeah, but I have this problem and that problem and this problem and that problem. That's the midbar. I don't care how much of the midbar you have. I don't care how sick you think you are or anything like that.
Not giving you blessings?
I mean, it's impossible, right? There's no way that a person could be that way. No person could live. Then you die.
So why is it not possible?
You have the bracha of life.
What about you?
You have the bracha of life. Right there is a bracha. It's impossible. You cannot go throughout.
Your life is full of misery.
Then you're not looking at the right way of your life.
Didn't Eliyahu HaNavi dive into that?
Eliyahu HaNavi said, kill me if you're not going to kill the Jews. Give us a kapara in one way or the other. I can kill the Jews or that. Again, what do you think his kid... Okay, first of all, you've never seen the youth. His three friends are telling him the whole time your whole life was a bracha. Well, because one thing goes wrong, all of a sudden you're going to go crazy? Yes. The whole speech of when Eliphaz and Beldad, when they came by and they started so far in Al-Masi, when they came by to him, that was exactly what they were telling him. Stop looking at the bad and start looking at the good. You still have everything else. There is more to it. First of all, his wife didn't die. Second of all, there's still a way to be able to make a family. Granted, there are bad things that happen. Stop looking at the bad and live on. That's the purpose. That's the idea behind it. There's no such thing as a life without bracha. It absolutely cannot exist. You'd be dead. That would be the definition of losing the bracha. So what was the purpose in this parsha of going ahead and counting us? What was the purpose of us going ahead and saying, you know, we want to know how much we are and what's going on and everything like that? What difference does it make to God how many numbers we have or what we are? Typically speaking, obviously a leader needs to know their numbers. Why would they need to know their numbers? War tactics, to be able to fight in battles and those types of things. That's obvious, right? To be able to know how many people you have to be able to do your strategies and be able to go ahead. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu needed to know these numbers. Moshe Rabbeinu needed to know them to be able to go ahead through. And that's the idea of they're about to start the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. They're about to go in and fight the other nations of the world. So the way that they were going to go in is, here's the numbers that you have. Here's what I want you to go through. Says Reb Moshe and Pasuk Yates. Like God commanded Moshe, he counted them in Midbar Sinai. Should be the opposite way. And he counted them in the desert of Sinai, like God commanded Moshe. It's not the other way. Like God commanded Moshe, he counted them in Midbar Sinai. Why does it go that way? Here's what Moshe says. It wasn't for their purposes of maybe I need them for war or anything like that. That's not what they were thinking at all. They did it purely because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to do this. It makes sense to count a nation. It makes sense to have a census so that you know how much money you need or how much you have for an army or those types of things. It makes sense to have those types of things in the world. It does make a lot of sense. But that's not why Moshe Rabbeinu did it. He did it purely because God told him, this is what you need to do, and that's that, and that's why it's out of order. The first thing in Moshe Rabbeinu's head was Kasher, Siv Hashem is Moshe. This is what God commanded me to do. Therefore, I'm going to go ahead and count them. I'm not going to do anything else. That's the concept, and that's the idea that you have to do throughout everything. That's one. But there's so much more to it. The Chedusha Rim, the Gera Rebbe says the following. The counting of all the people was to be metaken to fix up all of their losses. All their chesronos, anything that they were missing out on, that they were losing out on. Pakod, the lashon of pei kuf dalet, is a lashon of the lo nifkad mimenu ish. They were never missing a man in the armies. They never lost a man. They never were missing anybody at all. Anything that he saw, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went around, Moshe Rabbeinu himself counted. Who do you send to go out to the census? To go do the census? You send the President of the United States? He goes around, I just want to know how many people you have inside this house? He's sending Nebuchs.
Isn't it
the guys who don't need a job?
It loses its bracha or bracha.
Yeah, that's what counted directly. So they counted it indirectly with coins and everything. But who do you send to count them? You don't send the most chashuv person out there. You send the least chashuv person out there. You send a garbage man. You send a guy who doesn't have anything else to do. The guy is sitting there with nothing else to do in his life. He's got nothing else to do. You say to him, do you need a job? Go count up the people. You don't send Moshe Rabbeinu. But here, this counting was different. It was for Moshe Rabbeinu to look at every person, see what they were missing. Because Moshe Rabbeinu could look at every person and say, that's what this guy needs, that's what this guy needs, that's what that guy needs. He was able to see it in everybody. And he was able to make them greater through the counting. He was able to be metaking their chatayim. He was able to fix up their losses. And he was able to say to everybody, I'll give you a bracha as he's counting. And he said, you count as one. And you know what you need to do? Here's what you need to do. He was able to look at them and say that to such a person. That was the purpose of the counting. That Moshe Rabbeinu showed them that each person was cautious, that you counted as one. And not only did you count as one, but now you can be even better than what you were before. If you were lacking in something, here's another thing to do. And that made sense why they counted them again and again and again. We all know the famous Rashi. God loves Bnei Yisrael like coins. So you count the money in your pocket over and over and over again. So you count it over and over. You just want to check your bank account statement to see how much money I have again and again and again, because you enjoy looking at how much money you have. Hopefully you're not losing. But you're looking at it to say, I'm gaining and I'm getting more and I'm getting more and I'm getting more. That's one answer. We have another answer now. The purpose of counting Bnei Yisrael again and again and again is to see, did you guys do better or did you do worse? What have you done since the last time I saw you? The last time I saw you, you were lacking in this. Now let's see where you are. Now let's see where you're holding. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to look at people's heads, look at their foreheads, and be able to see the types of mitzvahs that they did, see the types of great things that they were doing, and unfortunately their sins as well. He was the one that Dako went and did it. That's why it says the Lashon, Se'u, it's Rosh Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael. Count is the Lashon of Se'u. Se'u means to lift up. He's Nas'us, to lift them up, to raise them up, to make them greater through that counting. The way that the Shem Yishmael says, to make them feel chashiv, to make them feel worthy. That's the whole point of the counting. You're not just a mob. You guys are being made into a different Klal Yisrael. You're being made into a new Klal Yisrael that is going to be something chashiv that everybody will be able to look at. Continues the Ishbitzer, the Me'ashi Loach. Concept is, we all know that no two people are exactly alike. No two people are going to think alike. No two people are going to act alike. No two people are ever going to be the exact same person. Even if you have identical twins, you'll still have issues and differences between one and the other. There's no way that both people are together. But if people do things in the right way, and they work together, then they can form a symphony. They can make an orchestra. It could be, as the famous people are out there, just because we're in Bulls mode, a well-played defense, where everybody's moving around as if it's like a musical chairs type of a game. Everybody's exactly where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. And if that happens, there's no way to get off a clean shot. That's the concept that's there. And the obvious type of connection is also a symphony. If a symphony, if there's even one instrument that's a little bit off, a great expert can hear the difference in how it goes all together. But people that are not experts could listen to a symphony orchestra, and even if there are seven musical instruments off, you won't hear a difference whatsoever. You won't hear anything because our ears aren't trained. Why? Because the orchestra, everybody all together, makes it into such a thing of beauty. You sit there and you're just like, wow, that's unbelievable. One person on his own, the one guy who's playing the violin and is messing up the entire time, you'd hear it if he was playing by himself. But you play with somebody else, then all of a sudden it becomes greater. My daughter is playing the flute. She was so upset because she has a recital coming up. She said, I don't want to play by myself. Why? Because if I mess up, then everybody's going to know. And then her teacher told her, don't worry, I'll be playing on the piano with you. She said, beautiful. That way, if he's playing on the piano, then even if I mess up a part, no one except the experts are going to be able to tell the difference. No one, unless you're listening for it, is going to be able to tell the difference. They'll think, I'm just going together with the piano. They're going to think that sort of a thing. You're going to be, thank you so much. I want you to get up there and be like, that was not good. Yeah, a nine-year-old kid, that's beautiful. That's exactly what I wanted. That's the concept of Se'u. Lift everyone up together to a level where they can't get anywhere without the other. Meaning, it's not just individuals in Klal Yisrael. We have to work together. We have to be degulim, and then degulim to make an entire whole. That's the concept. There's a story of the Baal Shem Tov, and I love this story, where the Baal Shem Tov was davening together with a bunch of people in his ministry. The Baal Shem Tov took hours in his davening. He would get up there. She thanks you. So that, the story of the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov was standing there, he was davening with everybody else. He used to take hours in his davening, and he would just sit there and daven and daven and daven. And one morning, he was taking a little bit longer than usual. So the guys were sitting there, and they're looking at their watches, and they realized, like, this is just taking way too long. They were all starving. So they said, okay, let's quickly run out. We'll go out, we'll go get some food, and we'll come right back. The Baal Shem Tov will never realize it. He'll still be davening. They saw he was just on, like, Slach Lanu. They're like, we've got a while to go. And they're like, oh, let's just go. We'll go quickly. We'll come back. Everything will be okay. So they go out, they go get breakfast, they come back, they come into the shul, and they see the Baal Shem Tov sprawled out on the ground. Like, on the ground, on his stomach, like, on his face, sprawled out on the ground. They run up to him and said, Rebbe, Rebbe. They lift him up, and they pull him up, and they said, Rebbe, what happened? He said, you don't understand, said the Baal Shem Tov. When a person davens in a minyan, so in that minyan, everybody's climbing on each other's shoulders. So you can have, let's say there are nine other people with you in the minyan. You have nine people, and each person is climbing onto each other's shoulders. Me, I climb onto everybody's shoulders. So I get to higher than I ever would if I would be standing by myself. Just standing like this, I'd be able to get this high. With everybody else in the minyan, I'm able to get that much higher. I'm able to pull myself ever so much higher. But when you guys leave, then I just fall down. So that was what he did. He fell down to the ground.
He was lying on the ground for all the time that they were.
I don't know how long it was. I have no idea. I don't know if it was a remez. He was trying to show them what it was, or if he actually fell down. I have absolutely no idea. You don't ask questions about Baal Shem Tov's stories. Baal Shem Tov's stories, you don't ask questions. You just take it as it is, and that's that. But that's the point. That is the combination of everybody together. It's working one after the other, working with everything together. That's what ends up happening. And that's the purpose of the Nasi, joining every Shevet to count up in Israel. The purpose of the Nasi is someone who knows every person. He knows his Shevet. He wants to form a beautiful orchard, a beautiful product, says the Me'ah Shiloh. And that was the purpose of the Nasi going around saying, you do this and you do that, and him counting them along with Bnei Yisrael to make sure everybody was together. Says the Kedushim, this is another reason why Bamidbor is before Matan Torah, why we read Parshas Bamidbor before we get to Shavuos. Because this is the mitzvah of Hagbalah. Hagbalah of every person knowing their place, not climbing up the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu is his place on the mountain. Nathan Rehu had their place on the mountain. And also Rehu Tamar and Aaron and everybody else that was there, they also had their place on the mountain. And Zakenim as well. And Bnei Yisrael, they couldn't walk on the mountain whatsoever. Everybody had their own place around. And if you knew your place, then it was beautiful. If you didn't know your place and you're pushing out of the way, say, I want to see, I want to see, I want to get where I am. Well, then it's a problem. Because if you don't know where your place is, then that's that. They say about the Apta Rebbe, and this is another Hasidic Shema. So the Apta Rebbe said, not only do I remember Matan Torah, but I remember who I was standing next to. I remember who I was standing next to at Matan Torah. He didn't mean that just sound like, you know, I was standing next to Bill over there. You know Bill. And I was standing next to him. It meant he knew his place. He knew where he was supposed to be. Yeah, he was jealous of those people who were in front of him, but he realized, I'm not there yet. Wait until I'm there, and then I'll be able to be in that front row. But at least I'm not in the back row. And even if you're in the back row, you know who you are. You know what you got to work on. So work on it and get to the top rows. That's what the Kedusha Rim says. That's the whole power of what this Parsha stands for, a Parsha Bamidbar. To know your Makom, to know where you stand, that Shevet Dun, even though they're all the way in the back, should never be jealous of Shevet Yehuda that always gets to be first. You know how jealous I was? Zimmerman always came last. Anybody who had an A or a B was always in front of me, no matter what happened. And then sometimes, once in a while, the teacher felt bad for you. So once every like 6 years, they would call it, let's go Z's first. Z's first, and everybody else last. I'm just like, thank you! And that's that.
When you're next, I said like 20 Zimmermans after.
Exactly. It still didn't make it that much of a difference, right? There were still more people behind you. There was always that one guy who's like, you thought you were last, and really you're second to last. There's nothing worse than being second to last, right? But it's just that out there. That's the point. Knowing who you are to be able to make a symphony. The guy who has that little triangle in the symphony, he just ding. Ding. Don't you think he seems a bit pathetic? He's just like, all I'm doing. All I'm doing. What? It doesn't matter. The point of what he was trying to say was right there. He's trying to say, I know my place. That was the idea. But the guy who has the triangle, even that guy who has the triangle knows that without him, it wouldn't be a full symphony. Without him, it wouldn't be an orchestra. You're missing a triangle. You're missing the pathetic guy. So you need the pathetic guy. What? I'm sure he does. He probably also plays, you know, like another big triangle.
The gong.
I'm sure, no, it's obvious, but let's say the guy just knew how to play the triangle. He just did it. But that little ding, right at the right moment, is like, oh, beauty to the expert's ears. The beauty, the absolute beauty of a full orchestra together. That's the concept, and this is helps us understand another big problem. Rosh Chodesh Iyar of the second year. Okay, the second year. When did they leave Mitzrayim? Nisan of the first year. So this is a year, and 15 days later, they left on Pesach, right, obviously, the 15th of Nisan. This is Rosh Chodesh Iyar of the second year. This is a year and 15 days later. What took them so long to set up the Degelim? Why didn't they set up the Degelim before this? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's question, it's a brilliant question. Where were the Degelim for a full year? Don't say they didn't travel. They did travel. They went to Sukkos and Ramses. Now granted, they were in Midbar Sinai for a long time. They were in Midbar Sinai from Rosh Chodesh Sivan until the 20th of Iyar the next year. So granted, they were there for almost a full year. Almost a full year. 344 days altogether. That's a lot. That's a long time in one place. Granted, I'm giving you that. But regardless, there were times where they traveled. So when they traveled, why didn't they have the Degelim? And in fact, it seems like they did. Parag Yud Beis Pasuk Nun Aleph and Bo. It says they left Al Tzivo Sum. Al Tzivo Sum means with their legions. In the right order, in the right way, they left with their respective Shvatim, seemingly in their Degelim, says Yaakov Kamenetsky. So why are we waiting until now to mention that if they did it all the way from the beginning? So number one, if it was just now, then why do the degalim now? Why set up these degalim now? Number two, if it was before, then why not mention it before? Why are we pushing it off until now? So that's the idea.
If it was called Midbar Sinai, then what? There's probably a lot of mountains. So why was it called Har Sinai?
You know, the Midbar was the area of the desert called Sinai.
Right, it was,
the Har Sinai was the most important mountain of that Midbar.
Well,
that's what it was. Har Sinai was just one area within Midbar Sinai. Midbar Sinai could have had
plenty of mountains.
Yeah, could have been other things.
Right.
That was but Har Sinai was the most important mountain of that Midbar, which was called Midbar Sinai. Probably after the fact, after Har Sinai was made, then they called it Midbar Sinai. That would make the most sense. Might not have been known as that before that. What were you going to say, Aaron?
I was going to say, can you say that it's because they didn't beforehand, and going off what you were saying before, beforehand they didn't actually need the Tagalim.
Yeah.
But
so
now,
why now? What's
because
now?
Something, I don't know what, but something happened that they no longer knew their place.
That's Rav Yaakov's point. There must be something that was a problem. So let's think for a second. The Golem is a problem. Why are flags and why are separating the Shvatim a problem? It's going to cause internal strife and rifts between different parts of the Israel. Because you're going to separate Reuben, and Reuben has nothing to do with Shevi Yisachar. They have nothing to do with one another. They're not in the same dego. They're all the way in opposite sides of one another. They're not going to do anything with one another. So in theory, the Golem is a bad idea because it's going to keep people away. It's going to keep people away from one another, and it's going to cause differences in Klal Yisrael. And we all know that the worst thing that happens to Klal Yisrael is when we have these internal fights. I hold this way. You hold that way. Oh, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. When there's all these types of ideas, thank God Ashkenazim and Sephardim can somewhat work it out because Sephardim know that Ashkenazim are eventually right. You know how it is, right? But regardless, you know, the fact is,
we are a place on the bus.
No way. Regardless, you know that there's something. So what is it? What is it that all of a sudden now they could make the degalim and it would, or they could say that there were degalim and it wasn't that big of a deal? There's an actus for Klal Yisrael within their own, even if they had their own purpose, their own motivation, their own motives. Here was one place. They just made the Mishkan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan of that year, of the second year, is when the Mishkan was set up. It was set up right then. The Mishkan was a central unification area. It was an area where everybody could get together and be unified as one, where everyone could rally around a single purpose to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the camps went around the all went around the Mishkan. They were all, although they were separate from one another, they all looked forward to going to the Mishkan, whatever time, during the day, once a week, once a month, whatever it was. They all looked forward to the meeting, the Ohel Moed, where they got to meet with Moshe Rabbeinu, got to learn with Moshe Rabbeinu during the day. They frequently went. Therefore, no period, no real separation was permanent. It never remained that way. Because even though in theory they were camped separate from one another, when they traveled, they were separate from one another, but when there's a unification, when there's a place where they could be together and form their own purpose, then the period is knocked out. Then you don't have to worry about that type of separation. They saw how they could fit in together. It's like a human body. This is the concept, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. The eyes aren't jealous of the ears, and the ears aren't jealous of the eyes. The concept of this symphony working together. When the Mishkan is set up, granted it's been for a month, but when the Mishkan is set up, now we officially sanction the Golan, and even though beforehand, people might get jealous of one another, because they don't know what they stand for. Why is that guy better than me? But when they saw the Mishkan, and they saw how they fit into the Mishkan, that's when people understood there's differences between people. There's differences between me, you, and everybody else. We're all different from one another. We all have our place, and we'll understand that's what it is. Can you imagine? Moshe Rabbeinu goes into the Midbar, and Yisro comes along, and Yisro's like, you got to make judges. And 86,000 people are chosen as judges. Can you imagine the people that weren't chosen? Those guys who were like the losers? Who were like, yeah, I was 86,001, and you know, I just missed it. I go, what happened? You weren't chosen as 86,000 judges out of 600,000. I mean, it was almost one out of every six people was picked to be a judge. Can you imagine the amount of jealousy, the amount of strife that it would have caused in Klal Yisrael? In fact, the Al-Gurvani says that Yisro's idea was a bad idea because it did cause strife in Klal Yisrael. But this is the concept that now is officially. That's a bit of a kasha. Now, the Al-Gurvani has a whole piece on it. We spoke about it in Yisro 3 years ago. But that's the concept of what was there. But this is the idea of, they understood where they were. They understood what their purpose was. When they're stupid, it didn't make it. Yaakov was chosen as a judge. He deserves to be a judge. I don't deserve to be a judge because I know where I am. I know what place I sit in. That's the concept. In the Haftorah, when we skip to Haftorah, there's a Chassam Sofer, the most awesome Chassam Sofer. Always. The Chassam Sofer is always awesome. It doesn't get much more awesome than this. Says that Torah. Hosea says to Bnei Israel that their numbers are going to swell to craziness. They're going to be unbelievable. There's so many Jews. When the Goyim say to you, Lo Ami Atem, you are not my people, you'll say to them, Bnei El Chai, we are the children of the living God. Instead of saying, Lo Ami Atem, you're not my people, no, we're the children of the living God. What's this referring to? It's in the first pasuk in this week's Haftorah. First pasuk right over here in this week's Haftorah. Check it out. Right over there. So the first pasuk inside there says it. What's it referring to? It says the Chasam Sofer, Shabbos, Kuftes, Vavon, and Beis. Everybody knows this, but it's dumb. By he bin Soach Aaron, and Parshas Baluska is messed up. It's in a totally wrong place, and it's got these backward nuns. You ever see that? The backward nuns? Backward nuns are right there. And nobody has any idea what it's doing there. It's just all of a sudden, by he bin Soach Aaron, and right there. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuftes, Vavon, and Beis. It doesn't belong there. The Baal HaTorim says it belongs 50 parshios earlier. 50 parshios earlier. If you count the peis and the samachs backward from that area right there, you'll lead yourself to Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin, which is this week's parsha. Beis Yud Zayin is right over here. It says, Vinosa Ol Moed Machne Levim. When the Ol Moed traveled, that's when they said, Vayibin Soharon, Vayomer Moshe. That's when they said, Vayibin Soharon. That's where it came into play. So it belongs here. If you counted up all the samachs, you see the samachs right over there? All the samachs, you count the samachs and the peis, you'll get to 50 altogether. It'll lead to right over there. That's what it's supposed to be. And that's why it's in backwards nun. Backwards nun. 50 parshios back to be able to get there. Why put it there? Why put it back in Baal Yisrael? Why put it in that area? To be mafsik between the punishments of Klal Yisrael. What happened over there? The Bnei Yisrael had just been told, it's time to leave. It's time to leave Midbar Sinai. It's time to go. It was the 20th of Iyar, and they were told, get up and go. And they ran away. Like little children running away from school, says Rashi. They ran away like little children running away from school. The pasuk doesn't say that. It just says, and they traveled. Just says, Bnei Yisrael, Vayisam Ehar Hashem, they traveled away from the mountain of God. That's all it says. They traveled, period, nothing else. But Rashi says they traveled away like little kids. Then afterward, they started complaining. Then afterward, they had a taiva, the misonanim, and his avu taiva. So they went from one sin to the next two sins. You can't have three sins in a row. Three sins in a row is called chazakah. You have a chazakah, it's going to be punishments for the rest of their lives. So they couldn't have that. So we put Vayibin Zohar right in the middle over there so it wouldn't bother them. Okay, there's two big questions. What were they supposed to do? They weren't supposed to travel from Har Sinai? Vayisem Hashem, the cloud got up and left. You got to follow the cloud. You have to follow the cloud. What else are you going to do? That's number one. Number two, the second question. The pasuk doesn't say they did anything wrong. The pasuk says they just traveled. And Rashi's like, no, they traveled like little kids. Who says? Where did that board come from? Where did the idea come from? It just says they traveled from the Har Hashem. Where is the drasha that says that Bnei Yisrael did anything wrong? Here's the concept. Historically speaking, Bnei Yisrael ate matzos from Mitzrayim for 30 days after they left Mitzrayim, from Tesvav Nisan until Tesvav Iyar. They got the mun, they complained about it, they sinned at Rephidim, and they had to fight Amalek, and eventually they traveled to Har Sinai, and they got to Har Sinai in Rosh Chodesh Sivan. On Rosh Chodesh Sivan it says, Vayichan Neged Ahor, they can't fight the mountain, says Rashi, up until now there were Machlokasim. People were fighting with one another, the Jews were fighting with one another. On Rosh Chodesh Sivan, now they were okay. Iyar was a crazy bad month. There were fights between Bnei Yisrael. They fought Amalek, and they almost lost. They only weakened Amalek. They were roughly Yadayim in a Torah. They weakened their hands from Torah by Rephidim. There was some bad stuff that was happening during Iyar. Iyar was not a good month for Klal Yisrael. Now here's the pshat. Bnei Yisrael have an unreal connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in that the way we work, it's like, I don't know how to word this, it's like a coil that goes down like goes around and down like that, sort of like a spring. If you look at a spring that way, every date that we have connects with the same date the next year, and the same date the next year, same date the next year. For example, Tisha B'Av, we know, is a terrible day for Klal Yisrael. Tisha B'Av is the day that the Meraglim came in. Later on, more horrible things happen. Now, obviously, we know the first base of Mikdash, the second base of Mikdash was destroyed on that day. Terrible things happen on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is just a bad day, and it keeps happening. Every time Tisha B'Av comes around, it's another bad day for Klal Yisrael. It goes the opposite way as well. A good day for Klal Yisrael will always be a good day. We got the Geula from Mitzrayim on Tesvav Nisan. Eventually, we'll have a Geula on Tesvav Nisan. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says it's going to happen on Tesvav Nisan. We're always connected date-wise. When they saw that Iyar, the previous year, was a horrible month, It was a terrible month. And all these bad things happened. When the next year they were told by Hashem, it's time to travel, they immediately should have thought to themselves, oh my gosh, we don't want to travel. This is not a good time to travel. Moshe Rabbeinu immediately, when he saw a chaf ear, when the clouds got up and they started going ahead, Moshe said, no. It's not time to leave just yet. He got up and said, Vayivin Tzoharo, when the Aro needs to go, Vayom Moshe, Kumo, Hashem, get up, Hashem, Vyafut Tzoharo, get rid of your enemies. Vyanusim Esenecho Mipanecho, get rid of all your bad people. Get rid of all of them, because Bnei Yisrael are going to be swayed by these bad people if they leave right now. This is not a good time to leave the Midbar. This is not a good time to leave Har Sinai. Don't let us leave now. We got up and he davened. And Bnei Yisrael should have followed suit. Bnei Yisrael right then should have gotten up and said, he's right. This is not a good time. Here's a bad time for us. Let's wait until Sivan. Because Sivan is when everything is all good. But they didn't. They ran away like little kids, not thinking to themselves, what will be? It's like the recess bell rings a little bit early. But children, kinderlach, if you'd stay a little bit longer, you might learn a little bit more. No, we just want to run out, and that's that. We don't want to think of anything else. Hopefully we won't get any other mitzvahs. If we get any other mitzvahs off, that'll be terrible for us. 613 already. Can you imagine it was 617? That'd be way too much for us. They ran away as soon as they could. That was the punishment. That they didn't daven to stay. That they didn't do what Moshe Rabbeinu did. They didn't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get rid of the enemies. And because of that, Avera Gorera Zavera. It was ear. So they started complaining. The same way they did the year before. And because they started complaining, they started having a taiva. The same thing that they had before when they complained about the man. What happened the year before happened again. It's the exact same thing all over again. Because it's all cyclical. Our whole calendar is cyclical. Rabbi Dr. Jerry Loeb always told me for a Matzah Yisrael Solomon that he used to say that if a person has something crazy good or crazy bad happen to them, check the date and next year see what happens on that date. Said he guarantees something good or something bad will happen on that day. It will not. It doesn't have to be parallel, but it will equal. If Chassid Shalom, anybody was ever in a car accident, check the next year on that date and see what happens. If that ever happened to a person. That's the concept. Days are extremely important to us within Klal Yisrael. There's a connection from one to the other. And this is what happened to Bnei Yisrael. They let the Yitzhar get a hold of them. And that was the result. What happened after the Nisonim and after Isavu Taiva? The Lashon Hara of Miriam. The Lashon Hara of the Meraglim. And obviously we didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. That's the concept. It all led up because they left too early from that idea. Even today, Chassam Sofer says, Ir is a terrible time for Klal Yisrael. The 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died during this time. 24,000 Talmidim all died around this time during Svir. The Sultan is highly effective this month. Highly effective this month with a Malek and the powers of Bilam. Bilam stands for Baal-Om. There should be no special nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bilam hated the fact that God chose Bnei Yisrael. He said, Balaam, there should be no people that's straight up there. He didn't want there to be a true nation. But Baruch Hashem, the Kiddusha of Sphira, who Rav Shim Bar Yochai was able to do by taking on the other Talmud of Rabbi Akiva and take on these days and make it into Kiddusha, into Lag BaOmer, to make it into Tov, into good things, helps us grow and destroy the powers of the Satan. Now listen to the pasuk. They thought, Lo Amiatem. There is no special nation. They had the powers of Bilam, of Baal-Am. Lo Amiatem. You are not my people. To which we say back to them, Kiddusha Sasfira will help us be Zocha. Our Kiddusha during this time will help us be Zocha to be Bnei El Chai. El is 31. Chai is 18. 31 plus 18 is?
49.
For the 49 days of? Sphira. The concept of Sphira breaking all the tumah that they're all about. That's the concept of Lo Amiyatam. No. We are Bnei Al-Qaeda. We can show the other nations how special we are and how great we are that we deserve to be the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In summary, Bamidbar's purpose is the preparation for Shavuos. To understand that we have to learn no matter what. To understand that we need a little bit of Kiddusha to get into Shavuos. That's number one. Number two, counting us makes us into a cohesive unit, into a symphony orchestra. That's the point of the counting. Number three, the Degulim turns the Pirud, separation of Klal Yisrael, into harmony with the Mishkan in the right place. And the problem with Ir, that Bnei Yisrael's sin was that they didn't daven to get rid of the tomb of Ir. That they didn't daven to not travel until the end of Ir. We'll stop with that, everybody. Have a good Shabbos.